Christmas is music and jingles and bells that sound out of the coming of Emmanuel, a season of love pure and holy and kind that prophets spoke of in ancient time. Christmas is taxes and traveling to a birth as God himself bent down to the earth and kings from lands far started dangerous journey, traveling with treasures for the child who was holy.
Christmas is longing and waiting made right, the whole of God's worth bathed in glowing starlight, and there in a lowly and quite humble place, the kings from the east gazed at God's grace.
Christmas is Savior, Messiah and King, the reason we all celebrate and we sing. For carpenter Joseph and Mary with the babe have swaddled up Christmas and laid him in the hay.
Christmas is the night sky blazing and bold, filled with heavenly angels sharing what they were told. Bethlehem's hillside and shepherds and sheep, unaware of the miracles unfolding as they sleep.
Christmas is a manger, a stable and stall. Creation is bowing in worship and awe. Peace and goodwill to all of us men. Christmas is where this love story begins.
In those days, Caesar Augustus made a law. It required a list be made of everyone in the whole Roman world. Everyone went to their own town to be listed. So Joseph went to Bethlehem, the town of David. He went there with Mary. Mary was engaged to him. She was expecting a baby.
While they were there, she gave birth to her first baby, a boy. She wrapped him in a large strip of cloth and placed him in a manger.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby. It was night, and they were taking care of their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified.
Find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and laying in a manger.
Suddenly, a large group of angels from heaven also appeared. They were praising God. They said,
"May glory be given to God in the highest heaven, and may peace be given to those he is pleased with on earth."
The angels left and went into heaven. Then the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby.
Christmas is family, friends, and food, and every little child trying hard to be good. Decorations of red, green, silver, and gold, and the singing of carols that never get old.
Christmas is busy, our calendars we fill, but our hearts are empty if we don't stop to be still. So we promise to kneel before the Word made flesh. We will bow down and worship and give Him our best.
This Christmas we worship the gift from above, our voices will praise and sing out our love. Glory and honor to the great gift that frees us. Glory, hallelujah, Christmas is Jesus.
Yeah. Christmas is a promise that was made and was kept, and the sparkle of a teardrop as sweet Mary wept. Christmas is joy for the newborn king, shepherds and wise men in the presents they bring.
Christmas is a star that shone brighter than most, and brighter than sky full of heavenly hosts. Christmas is all of these things and much more. Christmas is wrapped up in the one we adore.
Christmas is love. Christmas is promise. Christmas is joy. Christmas is Jesus.
We invite you all now to stand and join with us in our final carol medley. The words will be on the screen.
Please be seated. Once again, a hearty thank you to our CE committee who has been working with our children for these past couple months to prepare that. And I think that was about as good as we could hope for. Once again, the Lord was blessed, and that's the most important part. Let's come before Him in prayer. Dear Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that it is that You have done and gifted for us. Lord, once again, we come to You in this moment and give it to You in Your glorious name, we pray. The Junior Church program would also like to invite you all into the foyer after the service, forgot to mention this earlier, for a time of hot chocolate, refreshments, and snacks where you get to meet and shake hands with the cast, get your autographs from your favorite lyricist or improviser or narrator. So once again, an open invitation to all to be available for that. And thus, we are here on our Christmas Sunday. When we think about Christmas itself, we realize that it began over 2,000 years ago. The celebration of Christmas was actually founded on the birth of a single baby boy. Now, since then, our traditions have changed. Things look not quite as they did back in those days. But the celebration and the season still has the exact same roots today, roots that have not changed, roots in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Jesus' presence for us on earth is one part of a bigger story, and that's the story of the Creator of the universe. This story shows us the love that the Creator had for His creation. And this story comes to us in four distinct but separate acts in which God revealed Himself to us. Each of these acts in their own way play to paint a piece of a bigger picture. And part of that picture is what we celebrate and it is embodied within this holiday. The life of Jesus and Christmas is the shifting point of that story. And that story begins within Act 1, the creation that God made of love. God created in love and He created the world in its essence to be good and whole and pure. He created men and women with free will to decide for themselves. He made them unique among all His creations, that humans would not be bound like angels would in service, but that we would be free to experience a full and complete relationship with the Creator. God made, and He did so in peace, in the Hebrew word shalom, that everything was good and it was as it should be, an environment and earth that naturally flourished and grew and provided on its own. And on this place, humans had the opportunity to freely live in joy and in the physical presence of the Creator who made it. And as God did, He reigned and did so on this earth in a just, pure, and holy way. The paradise that the Lord made and placed His creation into was one that was meant to last forever, with no beginning or no end, just permanent relationship. In Act number 2, there was a fall from grace. In this paradise, in this planet that was full of animals, God made and placed humans in them. He made them in His image, something unique and something He had not done to any of His other creation, with the ability to know and understand and be in relationship with the Creator Himself, to know Him personally and have an actual relationship with Him. And in this time, men and women became deceived. They were deceived into thinking that there was something that was held back from them in this creation. They were overcome temporarily by a desire to have more, to be more, to know more. And in that moment, they chose to disobey God and did so by eating from a tree that God had told them not to eat from and to stay away from. Now, the existence of this tree is really actually foundational to us understanding what this free will that God made would be like. If God made humanity with the ability to choose anything, then they would still need to be able to have a choice when it comes to whether or not they would follow Him. To have the ability to choose anything, you do need to be able to choose away from the Lord. This tree existed so that humans could experience this free will that God had created. But unfortunately, the choice that they made was the wrong one, to choose against God. Both Adam and Eve chose, in spite of the direction that was given them, they chose thinking that they knew better, that they wanted more. And this choice led to the end of this face-to-face relationship with the Lord. that the fabric of creation had now changed from what it was always intended to be, from what it would look like. And a new world began. Now that this had happened, that they were set to experience a death and a separation from the Lord. To live in the garden was now behind them, and that the earth itself would no longer produce freely as it once had. But lucky for us and them, separation and exile is never the last words that the Lord says. It's never where he ends his message for us. Which brings us to act number three, which is where we find ourselves in this season. The redemption that would come. The redemption that was undeserved. In that moment, when reality changed, when Adam and Eve separated themselves from God, God set about a plan and began piecing it together, piece by piece by piece. His intention was to do any and all things that needed to be done to bring back that relationship that was lost between men and God. To do anything that needed to be done to restore the wholeness that was always intended, and to not leave humans in this new place where they did not have access to the Creator. God chose to give people another chance to choose Him again instead of the death that they would experience being separated from Him. God began to speak to His creation, giving hints and signs through the generations of how it is that this redemption would come, how this relationship would be restored, how men and women would be made whole again in the Lord's eyes. And he gave signs to watch for of a man who would come, who would be born, but who would not choose death. A man who would live the life that humans were always intended to live, and to do so, choosing God above all, first in everything. And to do this, there would only be one way for this to be accomplished. God took himself and he put himself in a human body. And the man that we know as Jesus was born. Jesus who was God. Jesus in his life, he lived purely. He lived graciously. He lived compassionately and lovingly for any and all those people he met at any point within his life. He was all that humanity was ever meant to be without any of its faults, limitations, or natural desires to be the solution to the problem. So that in the end, as he would die at the hands of men, he would die and take on that death that was never his to own. That he would die and take on the separation from God, despite the fact that nothing that he had ever done would ever require him to be separated. He took a punishment he didn't deserve to fulfill the redemption that was needed for those who did deserve, to bring all people back to the Lord. That this debt was paid, this separation did not need to be there, and humanity could be redeemed. But once again, this is not simply where the Lord leaves it. He does not do the things that are required just to get us across the line. But his goal was different. From the beginning, the goal that God had for his creation, for humans, was to live in and amongst us. In a holy and pure place. Which brings us to the fourth chapter of this story of love that God has for us. Act 4, the coming renewal. God's story doesn't end or actually begin at the birth of Jesus. It doesn't end at Easter time as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. Because this story that he is writing for each and every one of us has not yet come to a conclusion. He has not revealed the full extent of what he has in store for us. This story includes not only the renewal of us as humans, but it also comes with the renewal of everything that he has made. A renewal that has not yet happened yet. at some point in time in the future that only the Father knows, Jesus will come again. And he will come to give us an opportunity to once again be brought into that fullness of a relationship. And there will be those again who choose to ignore him, choose to acknowledge a different life. And he will come to give new life to all of those who acknowledge that he is the one true and holy God. When he does come, he will purge the world of all evil, of all injustice, of all darkness, famine, and death. And he will do this to bring us into a new creation, a new heaven and new earth, a new relationship with him, where we can find a piece of what was lost so many generations ago, where we can have that life that he established among his creation for us in the Garden of Eden itself, to live with him face to face, just like once so many years ago both Adam and Eve did. And this gift of a whole relationship, this gift of knowledge that the Creator gives, is not just meant for some or others. It's not just designed for certain people to have and other people to not. For it has been made open and accessible to anyone who would desire it. Scripture tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For Jesus came to condemn the world, not to, but he came to save it. So the question becomes for each and every one of us, having been made and brought into this plan that God has, what part of it do you want? Because each and every one of us are within this story, whether we realize it or not. The Lord has made these provisions and these gracious acts for us, whether we've ever heard this story or not. So the question becomes, in light of what was done for you by the Creator of the universe, how will you respond and what will you say back to him? For each and every one of you in this room, outside this room, and in this planet, the Lord has thought of you personally and desires at the bottom of his heart, in the most loving and deeply desired way, for you to know who he is and to desire that to shape your life. For those of us who are following Jesus, he is telling us something of what he would have us do, of where he would have us go, of what he would have us use our skills and abilities for within the plan that he has. But will you listen closely enough to hear it? And once you know what it is that he's asking, will you have the courage, the willingness, and the faithfulness in the Lord to take those steps and follow what it is that he is asking of you? As we come into the season and time of Christmas, as we prepare and have been over these last numbers of weeks for celebrations and parties and festivities, we realize that none of this would be happening, that we would not have any of these opportunities or freedoms or joy within our lives had it not been for the birth of a baby boy named Jesus. And in this season, we come especially mindful of that and thankful of that. But let this just be one day out of the year that we thank the Lord for what he's done. May we celebrate and have such a joy and fervor for the gifts of God in every day that we live, that this joy that we feel would be a symptom of every single breath that we take. Our response in light of what the Lord has done, our response in the truth of who he is and what he has given to us, is to live in such a way that we are grateful and that we are changed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his death for all those who would need it. The Lord has gifted us with so much. And we come before him thanking him that his plan began the moment it was needed. And we thank him that we have our scriptures today that we can look back on, that are accessible, whether it be in our pocket or in front of us on paper. That we can look back with a confidence in knowing that these are not simply just ideas and traditions that have passed down, but the more evidence that we unearth even today supports everything that happened to be true. And that the Lord protects these things for us so that we would never find ourselves overshadowed by the truth the world displays for us. Each and every one of us can come before the Lord and be transformed by his grace, be shaped into better versions of ourselves. And I think anyone, regardless of their belief in history, wouldn't enjoy being transformed to be more loving to those around them by the truth and presence that a relationship with Jesus Christ brings. We are in the midst of God's story. We are mid-stride in the redemption plan. And we come before him today and every day, thankful for the gift of his son Jesus that we celebrate through our Christmas season. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the many different ways in which you have shown us truth. We thank you for the story that you have brought to us of your love. We thank you that despite the fact that when we fell short, you didn't continue on without us. That you came beside us, took us by the hand, and helped us back onto our feet and continue to walk with us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. We thank you for the life that he lived, for the short breadth of ministry that he had. And we thank you for the model that he gives us on how to live our lives in a way that honors you, in a way that looks after those who you have instructed us to look after. Lord, may we come before you and hear your heart. May we come hear what it is that you are trying to tell us, that we can once again play a role in your plan. That once again, we can be shaped by the love that you have for us that never abandons us. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. And we thank you for the love that you have that knows no beginning and no end. These things we pray in your name. Amen. We're going to invite Robert up to the platform as he has something to share this morning.